heart, new spirit. Your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. Connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary in southeastern Wisconsin. Here's your host, Father Don Hying.
Good morning. Welcome to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, rector of the seminary and host of this program, where we share with you stories of the people and events taking place at St. Francis de Sales. Thank you for tuning into our program this morning. This half-hour show airs the first Saturday of every month from 11 to 11:30 a.m. I hope you'll continue listening, and please send us guest or topic ideas. We're always looking for new ideas and new people to have on the show, so let us know what you're interested in. Please email me at newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu with ideas or questions. As you may know, our seminary is located in St. Francis, just south of the city of Milwaukee, right on the shores of Lake Michigan. Established in 1845, we have operated in our current location since 1856. As always, we continue to form men to be priests, blending our rich tradition with the demands of the 21st century with a new heart and a new spirit. Currently, we have 36 seminarians enrolled in our priestly formation program, preparing to become your priests of the future right here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. May is always an exciting time for us because it's ordination season. Last weekend, four of our seminarians were ordained to the transitional diaconate, crossing another important milestone on their path to the priesthood. We were happy and blessed to have Archbishop Jerome Lestecky preside at his first ordination here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee at St. Matthias Parish. We're still experiencing the joy of that day and at the same time looking ahead with anticipation and excitement to two rounds of priestly ordinations this year. 2 weeks from today, on May 15th, four new priests will be ordained for the Archdiocese of Milwaukee. Deacons Anthony Thomas, Eric Weiss, Matthew Witter, and Chuck Robel will be ordained by Archbishop Lestecky at 10:30 a.m. on May 15th. On July 17th, Deacon John Burns will be ordained as well. He's currently studying in Rome and will not be home until later this summer. His ordination will be at 9:30 at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist on July 17th. Last year, six men were ordained as priests. We have five this year, five next year, God willing, perhaps even eight in 2012. As you can see, we're on a roll here at the seminary. We are about forming the hearts, minds, and souls of your future priests. Please continue to pray for our future deacons and priests and all of the men studying here in hopes of someday serving you. Thank you for the part you play in that formation. And I hope you continue to listen to this program and participate in the life of your seminary. As I just said, we have four men being ordained to the priesthood in just 2 weeks. Today, I'm happy to have two of them with me on this program here to talk about their upcoming ordination. Deacon Matthew Witter and Deacon Chuck Robel, welcome and thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Father.
Thanks, Father Dodd. Good to be here.
You're only 2 weeks away from your ordination. That seems unbelievable. You've been in formation now for 6 years, I think. And you've been asked many times over the course of those 6 years, you know, your vocation story, how you were called to the priesthood, how you came to the conviction that this is what God was calling you to do and to be. Could you just share a little bit of that with us? I'm sure there's listeners out there that would just love to hear the essence of your call.
I grew up at Blessed Trinity Parish in Sheboygan Falls on a dairy farm there. Went to college at UW-Eau Claire, and when I was at UW-Eau Claire, I decided to major in exercise science. So going to personal training, I guess you could say, you know, training the body. And in the midst of that, kind of starting when I was in sixth grade, I felt this call to the priesthood. And basically in my last years of college, I became convicted that I had to give priesthood a try, to see if God really was calling me to this vocation. So like Father Don said, I started at seminary 6 years ago, and praise God, because the big day is right around the corner now.
Something you've done, Deacon Matthew, at every place you've worked in a parish is create kind of an exercise program hoping to integrate physical exercise along with the spiritual life. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, at the Holy Family Parish in Fond du Lac and St. Eugene's in Fox Point and St. Monica's in Whitefish Bay, we did, it's called the Faith and Fitness Program. We'd gather usually early in the morning before Mass, and there'd be a faith component dealing with usually one of the saints, and then we'd do some walking and some strength training, and it was a great thing to build our faith. We improved our fitness, lost a little weight, and also built community. It really, really worked out well. I took my degree in training the soul, the body, and now priesthood training the soul.
So bringing those two together will be a part of your mission probably for the rest of your life. Right?
Yeah, whichever parish, they're gonna have that.
That's wonderful. And you were, 22 when you came into formation?
Yeah, just turned 22 at that time.
And Deacon Chuck, tell us a little bit about your call, where you came from, and how you ended up at this wonderful moment of your life.
Well, my story is a little longer than Matt's. I am presently twice the age he was when he started, so I'm 44. But I guess mine started when I was in grade school, and I went to a parochial school in Ripon at St. Pat's. We went to church every morning, and I loved that. I started serving as soon as I could, and just really felt at home in church at the time. Then through high school, I still had some inclination toward that. But in college, my idea of being a priest really went away, and I just thought that I was supposed to be a dad because I loved children and I wanted to do that. As I went on, I got a couple degrees, and I finally got into physical therapy, and I started working in Sheboygan about 12 years ago, and at that time, one of the gentlemen who I worked with really got me started with mission work, and I started doing more and more of that. I also became very involved in the church community where I belonged as a catechist for the RCIA process, and I was cantoring and in the choir and lecturing and things like that. And the more that I started doing all of those things, the more I started to feel inside of me, somewhere deep inside, that there was something more I was supposed to do within the church. Knowing that I was going to have to do more education, I went and asked my priest about some different things, and one of which was the diaconate. He, at that time, asked me if I had ever thought about being a priest. And I responded, of course, when I was about second grade, but other than that, it's kind of gone away. But I got information to talk to people here at the seminary, and with them, I got a spiritual director and a lot of prayers on my own as well as with other people. And discernment, I just was able to make an application and start seminary a year later. So I've been there ever since.
That's great. Both of your narratives remind us that there's something unique about the call of each person to the priesthood, and yet there's a commonality as well, that each one of us has to be able to articulate the sense that God has broken into our life and really calls us to the priesthood. So it isn't something that we make up. It isn't something that we decide. It's an invitation issued to us somehow through the mystery of grace, and we respond to that. So both of you started in a profession, helping people kind of in the physical realm and then being led step by step to see that there's something you can do deeper on the spiritual level as well. So that's amazing. Parish priest has to have an enormous range of skill sets when you think about it. A parish priest is a sacramental presider, a counselor, a preacher, a teacher, a cheerleader, someone that manages staff, somebody that has to be savvy about finances and buildings and grounds, a community leader, someone able to bring people together on a lot of different levels. And seminary can only take you so far in preparing you for that. But as you reflect on your seminary experience, what are some things that stand out that you see as being particularly helpful or even pivotal in your journey towards the priesthood?
Well, I think a big thing for me, Father Don, has been the prayer as well as our pastoral formation along the way. Both Chuck and I, we've been blessed to have a number of different opportunities at helping out various parishes. Spent a year in Holy Family in Fond du Lac. And in some sense, that really kind of, I think, taught me about, what a priest's life is like. To live with a priest and to be with the people day in and day out was really a big thing for me. as well as just the time we spend praying as a community. We have our own personal prayer, devotions, adoration, the rosary, but then morning prayer, evening prayer, you know, walking into those the chapel day in and day out and seeing all your brothers in the same journey that you're at. It's, I think those are the pivotal things for me.
Thank you. How about you, Chuck?
I would agree with what Matt says too, but I also believe that the practical application of everything that we've learned and things that we haven't learned that we have to put into practice has really helped. Like this year as deacons of the house, we have been given added responsibilities. And just having my door open, it's a good experience for me to have people just to come into my room and talk to me about whatever. I mean, it could just be about who needs a ride to the Sacred Heart for that day, or it could be something that's going on in their life and they want a little help with discerning the direction. So things like that, as well as the prayer and the other experiences that we've had as interns and societal ministry have all helped, I think, with forming us.
That's a great point. I think something that people would find surprising if they know nothing about seminary formation is how practical much of it is. Obviously, you need academics. There's probably been times you've been sitting in class and wondering, what does this have to do with anything that I'm going to do as a priest? And yet so much of the program is really about giving you those practical skills to go out and be an effective parish priest. So you need to learn the theology of the Trinity. That's great. But then you need to be able to somehow articulate that to a second grader. And you know, the challenge is, how do I translate what I've learned into the reality of real life as parishioners experience it? You're listening to New Heart, New Spirit, a monthly radio show about life here at St. Francis de Sales Seminary in Milwaukee. We're blessed to have Deacons Chuck Robel and Matt Witter with us, who are anticipating ordination in just 2 weeks. We're just going to take a short break. Thank you for joining us, and we will be right back.
They call it getting results. Hi, Bob Bennis for Relevant Radio, along with Jeff Wren of Wren Contracting in Bloomington. The economy has been challenging for all business categories. Jeff, how has Relevant Radio helped your business?
I've been supporting and advertising on Relevant Radio for nearly 4 months now. We've always been fortunate enough to be busy over the years, but I tell you what, the last few months have been gangbusters. I personally have seen my business grow directly by advertising on Relevant Radio. I remember within the first week, I think I had approximately 10 calls. I went on 7 or 8 appointments, and when it was all said and done, I grossed roughly about $40,000 in gross sales. It's just been fantastic, and the people I deal with, they're honest, nice, and just have beautiful families, and I just love dealing with people like that.
When many businesses are circling the wagons, now is the opportunity to grab market share. To learn more, go to RelevantRadioMilwaukee.com, keyword business building. That's RelevantRadioMilwaukee.com, keyword business building.
Did you know Steve Ray is a convert to the Catholic faith? Did you know he was raised in an anti-Catholic household?
My dad was from a very fundamentalist Baptist church. As we grew up, it was just understood that Catholics weren't saved, that we had the true gospel as evangelical Protestants.
Steve and his wife are not spoken to by their families.
And our families decided that they were not going to talk to us again. So this was not something that was a minor decision for us because we didn't want to have to do this. It was a matter of intellectual honesty.
Listen to this inspiring convert Thursday, May 6th at American Service Hall in Milwaukee at 7 o'clock. Tickets are still available at RelevantRadioMilwaukee.com or by calling 800-342-0306, extension 7315. Tickets only $15. Order yours online now or call 800-342-0306, extension 7315. Steve Ray with special guest Father Rocky.
Brought to you by Bunzel's Old Fashioned Meat Market, the Basilica of Holy Hill, and Relevant Radio 100.1 FM.
Connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is New Heart, New Spirit on Relevant Radio. Once again, Father Don Hying.
Welcome back to New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. This is Father Don Hying, rector of the seminary. This monthly radio show keeps you in touch with our seminarian lets you know about important topics and events in the lives of the seminarians and the Archdiocese, and shares with you news and updates about what we're doing. Our seminary has been forming men for the priesthood since 1846 and continues to do so now with a new enthusiasm and a new spirit. Please listen to previous shows on our website, www.sfs.edu. We post all the episodes there, and you can listen to them on your computer whenever you want. On past shows, we've interviewed the parents of John Gibson, one of our seminarians. We've talked about the Season of Mercy in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, the history of the seminary. We've discussed a day in the life of a typical seminarian with some of our current men. We've discussed what newly ordained priests have experienced in their first year on the job. We've talked about World Youth Days past and future. Today we are talking about the highlight of every seminary's year, priestly ordination. Months and years of formation, classes and preparation, and finally the time is almost here. Five new priests will be ordained this year from Milwaukee, one in July and four in 2 weeks on May 15th at the Cathedral of St. John the Evangelist. Today we are joined by two of those that will be ordained on May 15th, Deacon Matthew Witter and Deacon Chuck Roble. We've been talking about their vocational call, their experience in the seminary. Let's focus a little bit on the upcoming ordination. You know, as you get closer and closer to ordination, it's only 2 weeks away. What are some of the preparations you've had to do? What are some of the things that you're thinking about? What does a seminarian go through in these last couple of weeks before the big day?
Well, I would say it's interesting because it's been for both of us a 6-year process, and you know, at first it seems like this is never going to happen, and then you know, all of a sudden it's like here it is.
All of a sudden it's here.
That's, you know, right. It's like wow, you know, it's our time now, and praise God for that. You know, one of the things I think about that really kind of helped make it more concrete to me is when our class got together to discuss the ordination liturgy, and we talked about the readings and about the music, and we picked the gospel about unless the grain of wheat falls and dies, it bears no fruit. And to me, that's actually been something that I've been reflecting on a lot, that idea of kind of letting go of ourselves and really embracing Christ. As Father Don often says, you know, with ordination, it's like you write a blank check to the church and say, you know, do with me what you wish. And I'd say that that's definitely one of those things that's going through my mind, you know, let Christ use me as he wishes.
How about you, Chuck? What's going on?
Well, there's certainly the coming to grips with the reality of what's finally happening, because that goal has always been out there, unattainable, and now it's right here. But on practical circumstances, there's still classes that we have to go to.
Yep.
We still have to do our tests and our papers and all of that, and we have to learn how to say a mass and all the other sacramental things. And we have to prepare for the ordination and our first masses of Thanksgiving. So it gets to be kind of crazy, I think, at times. And we can very easily get into the trap where we don't think about what's going to happen. And so taking time in prayer to ready ourselves for what's going to happen on the 15th, as well as where we're going to go in the future, and being open to that possibility, and just praying that the Spirit will work to the benefit of the church.
That's a great point. To that end, canon law requires that anyone getting ordained to the priesthood has to do a canonical retreat. So thankfully, the two of you will be going on a 5-day retreat just to get ready for priesthood and to kind of put aside all the distractions and think about what this is really about. Thinking back to my ordination, it's like doing a wedding without a bride. You know, it's like there's no one else to really help you with the preparation. So it's planning a meal, it's planning a mass, it's planning the ceremony, it's getting invitations out. Uh-huh. There's a lot of detail to it that doesn't necessarily meet the eye when you first look at it. But when I think of ordination as well, it's really the foundational experience of my life. So anytime that I'm frustrated, overwhelmed, sad, or just need a boost, I just think about the morning of my ordination. And God was so real at that point. It was like I could reach out and touch him. So it's kind of like sticking my finger into an electrical socket. All the energy, all the life comes pulsing back. So I always say to guys, as they're getting ordained, store today in your heart, because you're going to need to pull this out in moments of trial and difficulty, because this is the moment of your greatest truth. You know, this is the moment when you literally lay down your life for God and the church, and trusting that He will always give you the grace to be faithful to this. Mm-hmm. So I praise God that the Spirit keeps stirring up that call in hearts, you know, that you're responding. I don't think it would be an exaggeration to say that the moment we are living in the history of the world and the history of the church is unique and significant. When we think of what's going on in the world politically, economically, socially, when we look at challenges and opportunities in the church, things are changing very rapidly. And we look at, you know, the challenge of the sex abuse crisis from the past and how that's being played out today. We look at the diminishing numbers of priests. We look at the fact that many young people find religion not compelling at all. I think you're really heroic in saying yes to the priesthood at this point, because no one in any way could predict what it's going to be even in 10 years. Do you have any thoughts on that? Just what does it mean to you to be saying yes to God and the priesthood at this particular moment in history?
I think that at times when I do actually stop to think about all of those things, it can be absolutely overwhelming. And then I think, why would I want to do this? It makes no sense at all to do that. But then I listen to the people who are around me and who give me support. And the word that keeps coming up that I hear from them is hope, and how they place their hope in us, and that our being ordained gives them hope in the future of the church. And that too is a huge responsibility, but I just meditate on how I can possibly be that word of God for the people who are struggling through all these hardships along with us, and just try to bring God's glory to any of that.
There's something very personal that people feel about your vocations, even people that don't know you. You know, but they've seen your name and your face on the vocations posters. They've been praying for you, and they see you as, you know, the bright promise of the future of the priesthood and the church. So, like you said, Deacon Chuck, sometimes that may feel like there's this responsibility with it, but that responsibility isn't always a bad thing to feel, because it gives you an added dimension of wanting to be the best priest you can be, you know, not only for God and the church, but also for very individual people that you know or don't know. How about you, Deacon Matt? How do you feel about the current moment in which you're being ordained?
Yeah, I think about thinking about the moment. One of my hobbies is like long distance running, and you know, St. Paul often talks about the faith as, you know, running a race. And I think, you know, in distance running, there's times where moments you get down and say, you know, how are we going to make it? I don't think I can make this. But then you always have to look to the future. Mm-hmm. And in our faith, it's that element of looking to the fact that, you know, Christ has won. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all about persevering, you know, not getting, mm-hmm. you know, down in the moment, but just, you know, pushing through those mm-hmm. tough times. And you know, the past is what it is. But, you know, as Chuck said, you know, there's hope for the future. And mm-hmm. we've got a great group of priests, great mm-hmm. right now, you know, that we're joining in the ranks. And
the priesthood is more a marathon than it is a sprint,
yeah, exactly.
Right? Because you're in it for the long haul. I always joke that there won't be a retirement for us, you know, so you'll be pastor of Waukesha County when you're 70, maybe. But there's so many young people, young meaning middle school, high school, boys and girls, that are seriously thinking about a life, a vocation in the church. So I think the future is very bright. Who's to say that the statistics we project will be the right ones? You know, the Holy Spirit can do anything, and Holy Spirit is stirring up many young hearts to say yes to His call. Just ask all of our listeners to intensively pray for these next 2 weeks, for these wonderful young men who are saying yes to Christ, for Deacon Chuck, Deacon Matt, Deacon Anthony, Deacon Eric, and Deacon John, who are preparing to be your priests right here in the Archdiocese. If you've not met them yet, I pray that someday you will, because each one of them is a genuine inspiration for us. So please know of our prayers and our support as you get ever closer to that wonderful day of ordination. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Just have a few news updates for you. Again, we celebrated diaconate ordination on April 24th at St. Matthias Parish. Parish kindly led us to send upon them, and they offered their choir and their hospitality. But Christopher Klusman, Ugo Londoño, Javier Guatiba, and Kevin McManaman were ordained as transitional deacons. As we have said, the other priesthood ordination is coming up on May 15th. Please save the date for our seminary golf outing. It's Monday, July 26th at Triple I Country Club in Milwaukee. There's more information to come on our website, and please contact us with questions at 414-747-6400. All the money raised goes directly to the formation of our future priests, so we thank you for any help that you can give us. The Dead Sea Scrolls exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum is ending its limited engagement in June. It features two Bibles from the Salzman Library Rare Book Collection, two Bibles from the 15th century. So please check that out if you have not yet done so. Thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for your support of the seminary. Thank you for your interest in vocations. Most of all, thank you for your prayer for us. We intensively feel the power of that prayer and know that we could not do what we do if it was not for your inspiration and your help. Please stay in touch and don't hesitate to contact us. There are many ways to do this. Our website, for one, is a good place to get information about the seminary and to see the latest news. The seminary is on Facebook, so search for our page and become a fan to connect with other members of our community, see photos of special events and news updates. If you would like to take a tour of the seminary, if you have a question or just want to get in touch, please email me at newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu or call us at 414-747-6400. We thank you for joining us today, and please tune in again next month as New Heart, New Spirit brings you the latest on St. Francis de Sales Seminary. Thank you.
To contact Father Hying, send an email, newheartnewspirit@sfs.edu, or call 414-747-6400. And be sure to join us next time on New Heart, New Spirit, your connection to life at St. Francis de Sales Seminary. New Heart, New Spirit, on Relevant Radio, connecting you to the heart and spirit of St. Francis de Sales Seminary in southeastern Wisconsin.